Hey, this is Scott Longton with Edge of Eden, man. You're listening to Insomnia Radio. Rock it hard, brother. Rock it hard.
And now, from Motor City, USA,
Detroit, Michigan,
spinning the best local original music and giving it to the world, this is Insomnia Radio Detroit. And now, your host for Insomnia Radio Detroit, Les Zaldor.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Insomnia Radio Detroit. My name is Les and I'll be your host. This is episode number 7 and it's going to be another special episode, a special spotlight episode, interview and spotlight with a band called Edge of Eden. Before I get to that, I want to thank everybody for coming back and also want to welcome all new subscribers to Insomnia Radio Detroit. And I'd like to play a voicemail that I received from John Bro. I mentioned it on the last episode. And he's from the band Asphalt Trampoline. He sent me a voicemail. I didn't get a chance to play last episode, so I'm going to play in this episode for you. So here's the voicemail real quick.
Well, Mr. Zaldor, I think you got a good thing going there. I've been checking out the network, and I'm going to keep coming back. Appreciate you giving me that airplay. Bye-bye.
All right, that was John Pro from Asphalt Trampoline. If you want to leave a message for Insomnia Radio Detroit, you can call 313-429-6778. Or you can send me an email comment, mp3 at detroit@insomniaradio.net, and I'll get you on the show. And I'd love to have you on there. Like I said earlier, this is going to be a special episode, and a special spotlight episode, the band called Edge of Eden. I interviewed them about a month and a half ago over at a place not too far from my house called Moose McGregor's. They were doing a special 89X Homeboy show. 89X is a local radio station here in Detroit, Windsor area. They're out of Windsor. They're CIMX is the call letters, I think. And actually, it was a very good show, great show, good meeting the band. And since they had the four members, which you'll meet in the interview, they also added a new member since that time, Zach Valensky, who also is a guitarist. So now they're a five-piece band. And they've also got a couple good sponsorships or endorsements from First Active Guitars and Po' Boy Drums since I've last talked to them. So they're definitely going places. And I wanted to kind of get you guys to hear the band that's going to kind of like at the edge of Detroit and going to be even better in Detroit in the upcoming months. And like I was saying earlier, 89X was sponsoring this show. I got a chance to talk to the DJ, Holly, from 89X, and want to give a big shout out to her. And like to thank her for talking to me. We talked about the podcasting, and we've emailed a couple times since then. So it was very, very interesting to talk to her because get somebody from the radio side of things to see what their perspective is. And she's very open to podcasting and said she might, who knows, maybe she might even do a podcast in the near future. Hey, anything's possible, right? So, let's get into the interview. I'm going to play a song. Let's go to a song called Voices from Edge of Eden. Then we'll get right into the interview. And I got two more songs during the interview I'm going to play for you guys. So here, this is Edge of Eden with their song Voices.
Taking any more, it seems.
I'm here with a guy with Edge of Eden playing a show over at McGregor's. Introduce yourselves and tell me, whoever wants to talk, how you guys got started. You guys started 2005 and go from there. So
Scott Longton, guitars. Basically, you can roll.
Steve Nelson, bass.
Kevin Crush, phenomenon.
Plays Jones. My name is Will Napier. I'm the lead singer.
All right.
So Kevin and I, the drummer, had been jamming together in high school. We were in a band called Spread Easy when we were 16.
You want to be called Spread Easy?
Spread Easy.
I got to ask. How the hell did they come up with that name?
I don't know. It was a time in our life, and they kind of, you figure it out.
Girls in high school.
Yeah, a lot of girls in high school, man, like band members. But I hooked up with Scott in around 2005 and through a buddy. He told me that he worked with this guy who played guitar. Well, we met up and just started writing right then and there. We knew we were a perfect match. He had been jamming with Steve for a very, very long time, a bass player, and we had our first session together, and we definitely knew there was something there that we definitely wanted to pursue. We had gone through a couple drummers. By luck, I hooked back up with Kevin, and he was involved in a project, and he came by for one rehearsal and decided that it was definitely something he wanted to get involved in, so we put some songs together. We started doing shows, and here we are at another one. Yeah. Loving it.
Great, man. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than to be doing a radio station like 89X and doing their type of show. It's an honor to, you know, get your stuff just played on a big radio station like that and be offered to do something like this. And from where we started, you know, about a year and a half ago, we've come a long ways, played a lot of venues that a lot of big venues in a short period of time, you know.
We deserved it, but you know, you never know how things are gonna go, you know. We feel we deserved it. Everyone around us felt we deserved it, and we've just got a lot of huge breaks in the short time that we've been together. We put One Step Away together pretty quick. I think
it's the first album.
Yeah, it's the first album. I think it's really good material. We love it.
Definitely from the heart.
Definitely from the heart. Next album's gonna prove to be a little different. I think that everyone kind of moves ahead the longer that they're together and the more albums that they produce. But yeah, definitely maturing. We've all done that together. Regardless of our experience, this band is really put us somewhere that I think none of us have ever been before.
Who would you say are some of your influences?
Oh, we love all kinds of bands, you know. It's a hard thing for us because
they're all good mixes, though. I mean, each one of us has a wide range of different influences. I mean, Will's is completely different from mine. Kevin and Steve's is, I mean, all of us. I mean, there's
very,
some similar.
Very versatile band. It's probably the most versatile band I've been in.
Kevin here is jazz drummer for many years, and I think he definitely brings that to
he definitely doesn't look like a jazz drummer though.
He looks like a lot of things, but one of them is not a jazz drummer. Yeah, so we're looking forward to the next album a lot. Like I said, we're maturing and the material's coming along really well.
What would be your best way of classifying your music?
Steve should take that one because he became like a Rolling Stone writer on our
Get out of town. They're just saying that because I wrote our latest press release. It was just kind of something came into my head about what the band, what we represent and the way we sound. But I don't know, I guess we're just a mix of different styles of music, you know, like we've already said. And I think that's why Kevin and I kind of blend very well, because he's kind of had a background in jazz drumming, and I just love jazz music. But, you know, like we've said, you know, the reason I even picked up the bass was because of, you know, listening to Rush my whole life and listening to Geddy Lee. So, I mean, that's... but we have different style, and, you know, I think right now we just kind of have like an alternative rock sound right now. So it sounds really good.
You can definitely tell the other influences that are in our music too, as well. So
We love Our Lady Peace. We love classic rock. You know, we've been around a long time, and we try to mix a little bit of everything in there, as do other bands, and still kind of give it our own little flair and sound.
Trying to keep it on a new edge. You know, it's
trying to evolve with the music.
Evolve with the, you know, how music's progressing these days.
Yeah.
And I think we've nailed it, basically. Yeah.
I think so. He's very modest, as you can tell. He's the modest member of the band.
Well, how about modesty then? What does it feel like to have one of your songs played on even local radio? When first time I heard it on the local radio, well, what was it like?
When we first started this band, we didn't see anything like that. We just were a group of guys that were passionate about music and knew we had some heartfelt stuff to get out to the world, and we didn't know how we were going to be received, you know, being a little bit older. And fortunately, everyone just kind of picked up on us. A lot of people have picked up on us and really enjoyed our music as much as we do. But, it does feel great to get the exposure, and especially when you're not expecting anything like that. You know, it just kind of blindsides you. And all of our success has definitely blindsided us. You know, we all work. We're all family men.
Until we're signed. That's another story.
And if there's anyone out there who really likes the album, they're really going to like the next one, so bring the contracts and we're ready.
Well, that brings up a good point. If you like to be signed with a major label or like an indie label?
We're thinking more of an independent label.
I wouldn't put a major label down, though.
we're thinking that we're more of an indie label right now. You know, we've got a long way to go. We've still got time. We have a long way to go, and you know, we probably wouldn't turn too much down right now. It's just going to be really difficult with our family lives and things like that.
Help us progress. To do what we want to do and still be able to, have fun. And, you know, I have a daughter, Will has a daughter, Kevin has a son, you know, I mean, it's, we still are family at heart, you know, we still try to be family oriented, you know, when it comes to that and put the music in there as well. So anything that would allow us to do what we love and still have the free time that we need, and you know, would be great. It's a lot to ask, but you know.
And of course, make money, right?
Yeah.
We like money. Money pays the house notes and car payments and all those things that we need.
Definitely a bonus, you know. Definitely a bonus.
You know, speaking of family, I mean, that's the biggest reason I think we're here tonight anyway, because without their support, without the sacrifices that they've made, we really wouldn't be here even playing at this, playing here tonight at this gig. So we really appreciate all their support and everything that they've done for us too. So.
Definitely.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people just supporting us. We kind of knew who was going to be there for us and maybe who wouldn't. And it proved me wrong a lot of the times about who was going to be there and who wasn't. And we've just got a lot of people supporting us, and we've got a lot of people volunteering their time and really making us feel like we're doing something positive and something good, and try to keep our music positive, you know.
Definitely.
For that reason.
Yeah.
We want people backing something that they experience in their everyday life. And fortunately enough, not everything is negative in everybody's life every day. And addressing the positive, I think, is just only a good thing.
Our CD, our first one right now that we've got out, is I'd say it's more of an upbeat, more positive type of CD. Our second one's leaning towards a little bit more of the darker
side of things, but still addressing some lighter subjects and keeping on course and making sure that we're representing, you know, ourselves as well as possible. You know, we're all, you know, we have a responsibility as musicians, especially if we're turning out material that people can just go buy, that, you know, we have a responsibility to the kids and a responsibility to people who are looking at life a little negatively.
There is.
We're supposed to, you know, bring life to them and good things, and music is all about that. And I think that some people forget that sometimes.
There is on the album at least one, maybe two songs that everybody, I don't care what kind of music you listen to, can relate to. And that's what the positive thing about this band is.
No matter who you are, I think that you're going to at least pick a track or two and relate to it. Whether you're listening to hip-hop or, you know, classical music, or just, you know, everyday rock and roll, I think there's something that you can relate to in everybody's life.
Connect with one listener.
And that's what we do. And that's what we do. That's what we do it for. You know, it's not the shows we've played, you know, thousands. It's the show that we've played tens to. And
or the bartender. You know,
yeah, we played to the bartender. We played with this one band, not to mention any names, but, you know, they were a younger band, and they were talking about how the venue that we had played together was the smallest thing that they ever done. You know, these guys are in 17 or so, and, you know, I've been doing it since I was 17. And it's interesting to see how spoiled people are getting, because the music scene has changed so much, and, you know, just more people are playing guitar. But, you know, I was explaining to them, you know, we've played in front of five people, and four of which wanted to beat us up. So anything above and beyond that is a good thing for us, and we're definitely not going to hear any complaints.
scars that you can't erase. Little girl, what have you done? Am I to blame? Is it just infatuation? A way to change your situation? Is it just infatuation? A way to change your situation? She's only removing the bad parts from inside it hurts. The impossibility in the false starts. Where good things once were, and maybe it's her destiny to fall apart. But you're not in front of me again. And what she just don't understand, she thinks she's hurting herself, but she's killing me. And every time she almost cuts to me. And what she just don't comprehend, don't like her and giving at her feet. And everyone is eating from her hand again. Something I just will not understand. My friend, take it all away. I just
do you guys see that the local music scene is kind of going up, like increasing, or is it kind of like staying the same or decreasing? Where do you guys see it at right now?
There's never a shortage of bands, that's for sure. I mean, there's bands all
talent in Detroit nowadays. I mean, there's so much good talent in Detroit.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of bands coming out of Canada that are wonderful. There's a lot of U.S. bands and that just did not exist. That caliber of music did not exist. You know, the caliber of CDs that's coming out by a lot of bands has just never existed.
And it could be made cheaper now because of the digital age. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about the tape recording and going back and forth. I mean, now, I mean, our CD, we nailed it out in a short period of time, and we did a really good job on it, and it sounds really good.
We were real fortunate though. Scott actually has a degree in recording, so anytime you have something like that involved in the project, it's probably going to run a little bit smoother for you. So
with his experience, it really helped.
You go to Specs Howard then?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Specs Howard, do it.
Oh no!
It rocks.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No. Wait, he caught me.
Did I go?
No.
Yeah, I think no.
Right, he remembers registering all the pretty lights and then graduation day.
No, he caught me off guard. So I went to Specs. I checked out Specs. I ended up going to the Detroit Recording Institute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that's where you went.
Yeah.
Oh, not Specs.
He's got a degree and it worked. Yeah, so
I got a certification in it, and
it
was a fun time. It was a learning experience. I mean, being around music and doing something you love to do. I mean, there's no downside, really. You know, we got to hear bands come in and, you know, and record them and, you know, just have fun and see the music making progress before I even started doing this. So, it was a big help. And, you know, it's nice to know what's going on when you're in the studio and what the engineer's trying to accomplish as us as a band is working on, you know, our music, to know what he's trying to shoot for and be able to get an understanding of everything that's going on in there. It does help a lot. I mean, it makes you to be a lot more patient on the whole situation. So
you guys been mostly playing in Detroit, local areas,
and
around here?
Yeah, we did one show in Toledo. We did headliners. It was super exciting. I think we actually picked up quite a few fans that night. They welcomed us with open arms and made us feel like rock stars for a minute. And we're definitely going to head out that way. We're looking at doing some Chicago shows this summer and getting out a little bit more for a few days at a time. But, we've been sticking close. We're just now, right now, getting just a ton of connections and really in with people we thought we'd never had a chance with. Of course, that was before the album came out. Now it just seems that, you know, the album's not doing very well. A lot of people burning CDs and stuff, which
we do not mind, you know. If everybody burned a CD of ours in the United States and bought two,
if everybody was listening to our stuff in the United States,
we'd be happy. We don't care how you get it. We paid for it. You guys enjoy it, and so
just come to the shows.
If just come to the shows, man. Support us. Have a good time. Yes, have a good time.
How's the following here in Detroit with you guys?
Really good. Surprisingly enough, you would not believe the amount of fans. I know there's a ton of bands, but there's a ton of fans these days, and I think even the people who are a little bit closed-minded with our genre are really enjoying a lot of the bands that are coming out. And how could you not? I mean, there's some beautiful bands out right now, and I don't see, no matter what kind of music you like, you know, some of these hooks these younger people are coming up with are just amazing. All these vocalists are just have these beautiful voices, and like I said, the caliber of talent has not been around in Detroit like now. Not to say there wasn't some great bands, but there's just a multitude of great bands out there really working hard.
We're here on a Tuesday night. How do you think this place is going to be?
Well, we played here last week for the 89X show. And we weren't expecting to play a second show this week. And, you know, we've got some dates coming up real close to tonight. So it's tough to get everybody out, you know, four times a week or three times a week
probably
to come to shows, you know.
That's probably the hardest thing about being a local band is just, you know, having... I mean, it's not like you're on tour and you're going to Chicago and San Francisco and people, you got a following, you know, you basically either have the same amount of people coming to your show or the same exact people coming to your show. So to get them to come to a Tuesday, Friday, you know, it's a little bit more daunting, more difficult, but you know, you do what you can and you make good with, you know, with the people you meet and you make new friends and new contacts and just kind of go from there, you know. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a learning process, and
you know, we like to fill the venues, but you know, it works out better for everybody. But like I said, man, we're happy playing to, you know, just a few people. You know, our heart's into every show, and this is what we do, and this is what we love. And whether it's, you know, five people or 500 or 5,000, we try to do the same thing every time.
The big venues will come eventually.
Sure. Again. Know?
Again.
What do you mean? What do you mean again? Where have you guys played before? They've been big venues.
Well, St. Andrews. Fortunately enough, you know, we've been involved in, you know, these huge battle of the bands that are taking place now. They're funded, you know, by these huge corporations, you know, and
Amanda.
So we got a chance to play for a lot of people that were, you know, not necessarily there to see us. But when you're playing with the top 10 bands in Detroit for like a Bodog Music Battle of the Bands, you know, it's $1 million going on. You know, and you draw the 10 best bands, you're going to draw some fans, you know. So we were fortunate.
That's right, you guys were in the Bodog Battle of Bands. How'd that go?
It was incredible. I remember when we registered for that thing, all we had was a live show where I had some bronchitis thing going on.
Yeah,
I had a singer that's
crazy.
Not cool. Qualified against all these professional recordings, and all we had was a tape deck set up. So when we started progressing, and, you know, hundreds of people started falling off, and we're still holding in there. It was just really amazing. And kind of a true testament to our music rather than the quality of our recordings and how well everybody was feeling. So that's, you know, that's really all we had. And to be going against these guys with these superhuman recordings and holding on is just a real honor and just really says a lot about us, I think.
We made it to the second round. You know, we were invited back this year.
Something we definitely
we're invited back.
Oh yeah, definitely. Something we definitely want to do again.
Yeah. So yeah, so look forward.
We're
to
a better, stronger band this year, everybody. So look out because we're hitting
bad
it twice
as hell, bad as fuck. Yep. Had to drop the bomb.
Had to say the F bomb. Fuck.
You had to say that once at least.
Fuck.
That's three.
So
what are you guys getting, like crazy stories from playing on stage with in front of something kind of freak happen?
A few things.
I'll go ahead and share some of those with me.
We've had everything happen. I mean, in the amount of time that we've been playing, we've had everything from off time to can't hear this person, can't hear that person, somebody's mic goes out, somebody else's mic goes out. You know, yeah.
It means a lot in the small venues, you know.
That's the other thing about, you know.
Are we in the first verse or the second verse?
Yeah. Sure. Is there a second verse?
I forgot the first verse and I sing the first verse twice.
But, you know, it's a live show, you know, and it's us relaxing and maybe a little bit too much sometimes, but, when you're with people that you see a lot at every show, you know, you tend to be relaxed.
It's
just
about having a good time.
You have a good time. We try to be as professional as possible. Everybody's going to make mistakes once in a while. That's what makes us human, you know. And we try to be as humble as we can, besides Kevin.
We try to be as humble as we can.
I'm rock star till I die.
Yeah,
it's all.
He swears major record labels are in our future.
Coming,
so
it's coming.
And I'm not denying.
Hey, positive thinking. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm definitely not denying it. So
definitely the optimistic.
Just little things happen, you know. You get friends together and you know, you get everybody drinking a little bit and things happen. There's some things happening at our age we did not expect to have.
No tales of Kevin like getting all pissed off and breaking all his drums in one night.
Well, no, you know, falling. You know, you're talking about a drummer who crawls around his drum set during songs. Something I'm sure no one's seen out there, and if they have, it's only been very few times. But you know, he's crawling around on stage. There's bound to be things that's going to happen. You know,
yeah. I almost did balancing on a knock drum out set. The Bowdog guy because he come and scared the shit out of me one time. He's like tapping on my shoulder.
I think the best story we had was the second round of the Bowdog Battle of the Bands when we played at St. Andrew's Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were after our set, we had like a half-hour set. We brought some fans with us, some supporters, but I think we had a couple new fans that night.
Oh,
because
yeah.
by the time they were done,
they had to tell them to shut the fuck up.
Right. The master of ceremonies had to tell everyone just to shut up, and he had to tell them to shut the fuck up like three or four different times.
They were chanting Edge of Eden, and no one got that, you know, response there. So we know how many people we had there, and it wasn't that many, but really we had about 90% of the theater chanting our names. Right. And you know, we knew we were doing something special.
It was awesome.
Doing something
it was
good,
awesome.
You know.
It was really cool.
Very unexpected.
It's a good feeling when you know you definitely connected with the people that night. And, you know, no matter what the outcome was, you know, we know how we did. And the fans obviously knew how we did. And you know, regardless, we kicked it out. We, you know, we knocked it solid. And
we're coming back for them this year, though.
So that's the big plans for this year is going back to there and finishing up the second album.
We're going to definitely get the second album done. We're going to try to shoot for a close release date as our last time, which was about October 20th.
Yeah.
Any name for the album yet?
No. We got some cover ideas. It's a little darker. The music's a little darker. Yeah. So I think...
We've got a couple songs that we've got in the set tonight that are going to be on the new one. And they're both pretty dark. We got one that's really progressive and one that's very Alice in Chains sounding. I love it.
That does sound like Alice.
Yeah, I mean, we're proud of that. We really like Alice.
I mean, that's...
And to finally be able to relate to a band with one of our tunes is the biggest thing to us. Because we feel so off the wall with our stuff all the time, even though it's not... You know,
you're gonna see some off the wall shit if my bass drum breaks. I'm gonna start throwing some shit.
I think he would definitely go off
and
something like that.
Let me take a second to explain the album title since you brought the album title.
The first album title?
Yeah. One Step Away. We don't know what we're one step away from. And it was basically for the fans, you know. I think everyone's one step away from something. And it kind of went along with Edge of Eden, you know, being on the edge of paradise. And I think we all live there.
That's the basis of the band name, too, being on the edge of paradise?
Yeah, most certainly. Everyone has their own form of Eden. We definitely believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Not being perfect people, we live in both realms with everybody. And I think everybody's kind of on the edge of their own personal paradise. They don't give themselves enough credit on the positive things that they have. So, unfortunately, they tend to go over to the other side, the other edge. And I think it's just all about being one step away from your own personal paradise and not knowing it all the time. You know, at first it kind of sounds arrogant, like we're one step away from major record label contract, and that's never been what this it's never been what the band's all about. We were afraid that people might perceive it that way. So
the greatest thing about music is people, I mean, more or less make their own definition for everything. I mean, what we wrote a song about might not have the same meaning to somebody else when they listen to it. You know, it might mean something different to them. And that's the one thing I've always loved about music. I've always endeared about it. It's just the fact that, you know, when you take a song, you listen to somebody else's song, you can make it your own, you know.
Different interpretations.
You know, it's just, stolen interpretations, you know. It's you make it your own story in a way, you know, and just... It's the same thing with the title, same thing with the band. You know, everybody takes it the way they want to take it. And, you know, I mean, we can tell them all the explanation we can, but, you know, everybody's going to have their feeling about the band and the feeling about the album and certain songs on the album. You know, there's songs on there that we think are spectacular and that we want to play on the radio that somebody else might think, hey, there's a better song on here, you know, just because us as a band, you know,
Well, one of the songs you sent me was Voices, right? Tell me, talk about that real quick. What's that about?
Voices, Will, lyrically, Voices, you'd have to tell you the lyrics, but as far as the music goes, that song was actually written, what was it, 97?
Probably.
Just about 97. We wrote pretty much all the music for that in about 97. We did a few...
2005.
Yeah, it's a very grooving tune, and
I like a song.
We did a lot of changes on it, you know, little spots here and there, rearrange a few things to, you know, fit verses and stuff, but, you know, Will put the lyrics to it just like he does everything else, and it was butter, man. It was done and ready to go.
It's one of our songs that, you know, that I think that people can almost dance to, you know. I definitely don't see us as dance music musicians, but, you know, we catch a few people out, you know, dancing to something like that. And most of the time, people are just, like, trying to, you know, listening to lyrics, you know. And if they're fans already, you know, these songs mean something to them. And, you know, they kind of get into the lyric part of it, and the music just drives it home for them. And, you know, you get caught up, and, you know, most songs are not dance songs, but I think it's one of those songs people just kind of groove to, which, you know, although this album's going to be different, it seems that we have each version of the song represented on the new album, which is really nice, because we kind of can associate in some ways each song to these new ones that we're working on. And yeah, like I said, you know, we've grown a lot as a band, we've grown a lot as a family, you know, every band, you know, like Guitar Hero 2 says, you know, a band is the dysfunctional family that you choose. And, you know, nothing could be truer. And
true statement that I've ever heard.
Problems. But, you know, when you get four artists together, you get, you know, you're going to have some problems.
Four different personalities.
You're definitely going to have some
four
problems.
Different ideas. You know, everybody's got got an opinion. And
we've learned this year to work through our, you know, our differences and communication. It wasn't personal differences. It was just communication differences, and we've worked through all that this year, so I think our music's reflecting that as well as our personal relationships. And I don't understand, you know, how bands can, you know, can produce heartfelt, solid music without being friends and families first with your band.
Enemies too.
Yeah. You're the best enemies that you'll ever have, your bandmates.
Will's my boy, but we fought many times, and
yeah, he almost got beat up like before last week's show. I can't say it too loud because if any of his cousins find out that I've threatened him at all, then I'm smoked toast. Right. So
well, it's very important to understand that there are, you know, four different personalities and four different opinions, and as a band you just make the decision to deal with that and understand with that and get on with it, because it's important to make that decision and move on, or it's really just going to consume you, and, you know, you're not going to make it. So you really do need to focus on what the four of us want to accomplish, or any band wants to accomplish, and just making sure that we're working together to you know, have one cause. And it's been tough, but we've made the decision to do it.
And we're in for the long haul, no matter what happens. We've decided, you know, I don't think any one of us you know, imagined this band continuing without a member. So regardless of what happens, I think we're just in for the long haul together.
Stay strong to that. That's
yeah, and you know, it's
lots of great bands that stayed together for over 20 years. And
well,
still,
you know,
today.
We don't really have time. It's kind of like being old and married. You don't really have time to start divorcing people and looking for a new wife, which I did at 30, which I'm still looking. So if the profile fits, you know, go ahead and contact me.
I hear Holly's going to be here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to meeting Holly.
So you mentioned another song that you guys want to get played on from the old album, the first album.
I want Rot to be played. I think Rot, it was...
Talk about it.
Rot's a love song. It was actually, the music was derived from...
Rot is a love song.
Yeah, Rot. It's subtitled Shades of Grey. And the reason why it's subtitled Shades of Grey is because people do get completely different feelings and views about the song, and, you know, interpret it completely different. And since the first day that we started playing it, people just got different things. But it's actually a love song, and it was written, the music was written from a love song that I had for an ex-fiance. And we had broken up.
Progressed.
Yeah, it progressed. We broke up one night, and in about 2 hours, I took a lot of the music from it and wrote the basis of it, and it became Rot. And, you know, it's not about her rotting or me rotting or in general. It's about how relationships just rot and decay and fade away. And I just thought it was kind of a a cool, darker way to look at, you know, things.
Something and, that everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I
know,
mean?
You know, you
get back to what you said earlier about connecting with one person.
Right. We've got a song, it's called Strength and Weakness on the album, and I'm definitely going to have to say it's my favorite track off the album. It's track 8. Scott had started writing that song, and it was one that he brought out, and him and I sat down one night, and I just fell in love with the music. I mean, music was everything I always wanted to write to, and everything I always wanted to sing to. So had these two beautiful verses, and we were working on a vocal pattern for it, and I think we got the vocal pattern and the basses done in about 13, 14 minutes and did a raw recording in my living room of it. And the song has definitely progressed from there. When the bass and the drums, yeah, it's went through about a lot of changes, but as soon as bass and drums got involved after that, the music just kind of took off, and it's just a really, it's one of our favorite songs off the track.
It's just one of those songs you can close your eyes and play. I mean, it's a more, the beginning of it's more laid back, you know, but the song does, it does have its upper, you know, faster points, but it's more of an emotional tune than anything else. And the lyrics, when I wrote it, I don't know where they came from, but, you know, I mean, Will put in this amazing chorus to it, and it just came together, like, you know.
It's one of those songs that was always there. We just didn't bring it to life, you know. And that was one of our greatest collaborations. You know, the song had been around for a while. I know that Steve's wife had sung a version of the song, and she's also a musician and one of our biggest fans, if not our biggest fan.
Number one
Erin
fan.
Nelson. Erin. She's been there. She listens to us. She's the girl that's trying to sleep upstairs, and we're trying to bang out albums.
Yeah. Until 11 o'clock at night.
So it's been around. You know, the song's been around, and it, once we got hold of it, it was just something that was always there. Just one of those songs that just come to life, you know. It's always nice when that happens. You know, you don't have to struggle too much, and, you know, they're just natural song, which isn't always true. You know, you get into the, I don't like to call it writer's block, but you know, you're not as creative in certain parts and points in your life, and that fluctuates as much as anything fluctuates. Like her jeans there just was doing some fluctuation. Wow.
I love fluctuating.
She's very actually nice. A barmaid here, and she's not working tonight, so we might have a little bit different encounter than we did last week,
there
hopefully. And again, this is The Singer and I Am Single.
You see why the two single guys are on one side of the table, and the two married guys are on the other side of the table.
So I'm single now?
No, Kevin's not single anymore. You can't forget Katie, man.
He's not legitimately tied down. He doesn't have the paperwork to go with it. So
ladies, you know.
But I hope he said that. But, you know, I just hope everybody enjoys our music. They enjoy the next album.
She would say the same thing.
And enjoy the next album, and, you know, we hope to see you around. And
what's the best place to find you guys online?
MySpace, for sure.
MySpace, baby.
MySpace.com/ Edge of Eden. Yeah. Yep.
Check us out, man. We always got some tunes on there. Working on getting some of our newer stuff maybe on there, and some rough tracks, which we're definitely not embarrassed of. We like those raw, rough tracks.
We'd give everybody a little sneak peek of what's going to come forth out of it, but, you know, and then keep it up there for a week or two and then pull it down, you know. Everybody that gets to listen, you know, it's, you know, like a little teaser trailer for a movie or something, you know.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sitting down with me.
Hey,
looking forward to hearing you guys in a little bit.
So oh, yeah.
Thanks for doing our first professional interview, by the way. This definitely is going to make us feel a little bit better tonight on stage. I guess I'm an official rock star now.
Yeah, the heads might grow a little bit.
That happens anyways, but, our craniums. Oh, okay,
look
yeah.
Look forward at the other ones.
Oh, our craniums, yeah.
Not the other ones, yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
And I can't see without your light shining now. It's hard to believe you ever loved me how. I'm out of control, taking the form of something else. Somebody that needs you, somebody that tells the truth, somebody that bleeds just like you do. And when the sun it brings to life yet another day, and you seem to lose your mind. I'm sick of the games and how you carried on that way. Your list of names is what pushed me insane. And when the sun it brings to light yet another day, and you seem to lost your mind somewhere along the way.
Everybody. Yeah, I'm Will. I'm the lead singer of Edge of Eden. Check it out. Get One Step Away. You know, you got to check out Insomnia Radio Detroit. Insomnia Radio Detroit, because it's where it's at. So don't forget.
Insomnia Radio.
You've been listening to IR Detroit, part of the Insomnia Radio regional family of shows. For detailed show notes and band links, head over to detroit.insomniaradio.net or to subscribe and get it delivered, feeds.feedburner.com/IR Detroit, or just look for us in iTunes. Thanks for listening.